Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. We have a lot to get to today. We're covering everybody, as usual. That song there, Invisible, that's U2's latest release. And we're just about to get started. First, just a quick announcement. Sports Talk Chicago is now on Twitter. Follow us at ChiTalkSports. That is on Twitter. We have over 30 followers right now. And keep in mind that all the latest links to the new articles and podcasts will be up there. So make sure to check it out. And we start off here today with some Chicago Cubs news. I'm sure you all have heard, it's been in the news a lot lately. The Cubs have just signed Jason Hamill to a one-year, $6 million contract pending a physical exam. And apparently they have signed James McDonald to a minor league contract that includes an invitation to spring training. Hamill last year, unproductive. You know, he went 7-8, near 5 in an ERA. But in 2012, he did make the All-Star team as a reserve. On the year, he won 8-6 with a 3.43 ERA. Those stats were mostly in the first half. He did get injured and missed most of the second half in 2012. Hamill from 2009 to 2011 was with the Rockies, so he did well over there too. As we talk about James McDonald, he made the All-Star team too in 2012, then really just tailed off and had a horrible 2013 season, so he's looking to bounce back. Now the Cubs, when they enter spring training, it looks like the rotation, it's going to be looking like this. Jeff Samardzija, Travis Wood, Edwin Jackson, and Jake Arrieta. Chris Russon, Justin Grimm, and Carlos Villanueva are also competing for a spot. And I don't know, I mean, Hamill, he seems like a good mainstay, seems like a good pitcher, but I am just more concerned about, is he going to be productive over the years? I mean, last year, 7-8, I know he was injured part of the time, but I mean, really, that isn't good for the American League. And keep in mind, the Cubs last year signed Scott Feldman as a one-year deal, and they ended up trading him to the Orioles. Now it's pretty ironic that the Cubs signed Hamill away from the Orioles. So it's pretty ironic, as I said before. And now we could move on to a little more Cubs news. Keep in mind, pitchers and catchers are reporting February 13th in Mesa, Arizona. The Cubs did get their new spring training facility already and perked up. That will be in Mesa. So the Cubs are going to say goodbye to Ho-Ho Cam Park, and they're going to arrive the new one. I heard it's seating about 10,000 to 15,000 people. It's supposed to be nice out there. And I'm sure a lot of Cubs fans hoping to get out there. I wish I could go out there myself, escape this cold. But right now, the Cubs aren't in a great position. You have heard, I'm sure you've heard, as I've said before, 2015 or 2016 is the year. And this year, it's going to be another subpar year for them is what I'm thinking. I mean, Justin Ruggiano is probably one of their bigger headline set signings. And keep in mind, he only had 221 last year. He's going to be the starting center fielder. So I'm not really looking forward to this year with the Chicago Cubs. I would like to see opening day, though. That's one of the most important parts for me. But it is sad that this year is the 100th anniversary of Wrigley Field, and the Cubs aren't really going to have the win total to support that. If you have any other ideas or opinions on the Cubs, feel free to email me, info@sportstalkchicago.com, or you can always comment on one of the articles, or direct message me on Twitter, @Zags2000, or direct message Sports Talk Chicago @ChiSportsTalk, C-H-I Sports Talk. We're going to move on now to some more news. We are moving on to some Chicago Bulls news today. As you've heard from last night, the Bulls suffered a horrid loss against the Sacramento Kings. Joakim Noah, I'm sure as you have heard, they have ejected him from last night's game, and he has been fined now $15,000 for comments towards the refs. Apparently, he cursed towards the refs, and I guess they have described it as verbally abusing them. So Joakim, who just made the All-Star team, that's a poor showing from him last night. A couple other headlines about the Bulls. Boozer and Heinrich, I'm sure you've heard, still banged up with those injuries. But they did play yesterday in limited time. Heinrich had that strained left calf. And Boozer was hurt as well. We go to some other news. Mike James signed by the Bulls for a 10-day contract. They brought him back because Kirk Heinrich has been sidelined, so he will back up DJ Augustine. James appeared in 7 games this year with the Bulls before he was waived on December 16th, and I guess they just signed him again. Another one little tidbit of news here, Marcus Teague has been traded to the Brooklyn Nets for Toko Shangilia. Shangilia, 6'9". He only appeared in 17 games this year, averaging only 1.5 points a game. He is from the country of Georgia, has played 36 NBA games over the 2 years, so Teague is now gone. And now we're going to move on to a little more news, this time concerning the Blackhawks. Yes, last night the Hawks beat the Kings 5-3. What a big win for them. They were down 2-0, but there were goals by Patrick Kane and Brian Bickell, along with Marcus Kruger, deflected a Nick Leddy shot into the net. Crawford, 31 saves. What a big game for him as well. Keep in mind, another nice, interesting thing here of news. Kane ended up scoring 2 goals yesterday. Keep in mind, his grandfather just died. I feel horrible for Kane, and my condolences obviously to him and his family. But he had a great game shortly before game time, apparently. Kane learned that his grandfather had died, but he played as hard as he could. He had 2 goals and an assist, and as I mentioned before, Nick Leddy had a goal and an assist, and the Hawks, keep in mind, they are coming over their recent slump as of late. They've been having a horrible just losing slump slash streak. Kane, again, a little more about him. He choked up in the dressing room while thinking about his grandfather, who lived next door during his childhood. It was a tough day for him, as he said, and quote here, "He was one of my great friends growing up, just a really sad day. It was important to get the win, but anytime you get someone taken away from you that's so close to you, means so much, it's tough to hear that right before the game for sure," end quote. And you know what? That's true. I mean, if you were in his situation, I'm surprised he even played, let alone probably had one of the greater games of this season. And here is what Quenneville had to say about the matter. Quote, "He's a proud guy, and I think his grandfather meant a lot to him," Quenneville said. "It was probably an emotional night for him, but he played an unbelievable game," end quote. And that is correct. Same as the Hawks in general, had a great game coming over their recent slumps. In the standings right now, the Hawks do lead their own division, the Central Division, by 3 points. Keep in mind that although the Hawks actually do lead their own division, the conference is led by the Anaheim Ducks with a whopping 40-13 record. The Hawks, though, are only 3 points behind them, so hopefully they can catch up before the season ends. We're going to move on now to some Chicago Bears news. I know it's just a couple days after the Super Bowl. Keep in mind now 212 days till 2014 kicks off in the NFL year. And we are already talking some Bears news. We're going to start off, and we have some breaking news now that could just make you jump for joy. According to the AP, Associated Press, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel has begun lobbying NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on behalf of the Bears for the opportunity to host the Super Bowl here in 2019. The next 3 Super Bowls already set, with the 2018 field of potential hosts has been narrowed to Indianapolis, Minneapolis, and New Orleans, meaning the next shot at another cold weather Super Bowl in 2019. I can't even believe this. This is so overjoying to hear, although it is a long time away. It'd be really nice to see it played here in Chicago, because I was just saying to my family members a couple days ago, if they could play a cold weather Super Bowl in East Rutherford, New Jersey, Chicago would be such a great place. And keep in mind, if the Bears were to just put a retractable roof on Soldier Field, I really believe that the Super Bowl would have already been here many times before and many times still in the future. But right now, there is an interest from the city of Chicago, and Mayor Emanuel has said that Chicago would be, quote, a perfect place to have a Super Bowl. The city successfully hosted the NATO's 2012 summit here, so it is pretty cool. But Goodell has pointed out that Soldier Field's of capacity of only 63,500 people would need to be evaluated for Chicago's potential bid for a Super Bowl. MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford holds 82,500, So basically, the Bears would need to add some more seats, maybe about 20 to 25,000 more, but this interest certainly exists. Keep in mind, though, Chicago has to fight off Washington, New England, Philadelphia, and Denver for that 2019 Super Bowl bid, but I am sure everybody's very excited about it. In other news, Charles Tillman on Saturday became the fifth Chicago Bear to win the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award, which recognizes a player for community service off the field as well as on-field excellence. So it was great for him. I'm so happy. He certainly deserves it. He does all this work off the field, especially for the local Chicago hospitals and all this stuff locally around Chicago. He had been a finalist for the award twice in 3 years and was selected this year over Jay Feely of Arizona Cardinals and Thomas Davis of Carolina. Other Bears players to win the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award includes Walter Payton himself in 1977, Dave Duerson in 1987, Mike Singletary in 1990, and Jim Flanagan in 2000. Remember, Tillman is a two-time Pro Bowler. He ranks third in franchise history with 36 interceptions, and he leads the franchise in defensive return touchdowns, interception return yards, and interception return touchdowns. Off the field, as I said before, he helps millions of the Chicago area through his Cornerstone Foundation and its various programs. Charles's Locker helps pediatric hospital patients and annually reaches more than 370,000 children, while the Tiana Fund has distributed more than $1 million to 300 families identified by local organizations as at risk or in need. Tillman and his wife Jackie also contribute outside of the cornerback's own foundation. They have been helping to build a school in Cambodia, in addition to sponsoring children through the Urban Promise Program in Camden, New Jersey. They've also purchased and donated more than 700 tickets to Bears home games. And you know what? I always like to hear feel-good stories. You always hear about these athletes who are real jerks or these celebrities who, you know, they don't like to talk to people. They're real mean. But you know what? It's always nice to filter in a feel-good story once in a while, especially for Tillman. So congratulations, Charles Tillman, on winning the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. I feel so happy for him, and that's great. And we have one more, just, I don't know, odd piece of news here. According to former Baltimore Ravens and Chicago Bears linebacker Brendan Iambadagio, he says that his teammates smoked marijuana ahead of his two Super Bowls. He said that the Bears in 2006, some of them smoked marijuana before the game, and it happened last year. He did not play in the NFL this season. He was surprised his teammates actually would use it before the Super Bowl. And you know what? This is just a horrible, horrible turn of events. I feel, you know, betrayed. You know, you think you trust these players and playing a good game, and then you see them getting high on drugs just days before probably the biggest game of their lives, and probably one of the bigger games of the city, as you all know. 2006, the Super Bowl, that was the first time the Bears even appeared in a Super Bowl. Since 1985, I remember watching that. I was so hyped for the game, and now you've got to wonder which Bears smoked it, and could it have affected the outcome of that game? I mean, I don't know. But all I have to say is this. I'm just going to assume that Rex Grossman did it just because he had a horrible game that year. I'm just joking around. But next, we'll move on to the Chicago White Sox. I'm sure you've all heard about them lately. And as you've heard, the Sox getting ready to move back into Arizona at Camelback Ranch to start the spring training. I'm very excited for their year. I'm hoping they do well. And as I've heard from Rick Hahn and company, they are showing faith in Tyler Flowers and Josh Fegley. Tyler Flowers just had a horrible last season, and the team ranked last in OPS among AL catchers at 564. So they really had a bad year last year. And we all know that the Sox were actually going after McCann. They missed. And let's talk about Flowers here for a minute. Flowers only had 256 at-bats last year, and Fegley only had 204 at-bats last year. Flowers had just did horrible last year. He was hurt, but in the times that he was actually healthy, he wasn't having a good game. I know the Sox, they probably missed to death right now A.J. Pierzynski, but they can't do anything about it now. Pierzynski did sign with the Red Sox. And other Sox news here, there is a chance, apparently, that Bobby Jinks may return to the Sox. He has been battling with drug addiction after he got hurt a couple years ago, but apparently he has been working out, and reportedly the Sox may be giving him a tryout at spring training. We'll see if that story progresses, but hopefully, you know, that's good for him, that he's finally recovered and everything, and I hope he stays clean for the rest of his life, and hopefully he can go back to that great form he had with the Sox, especially when they won the World Series in 2005. One more thing. As you know, the Sox acquired Adam Eaton this year and some offseason deal. And I'll tell you right now, I am certainly excited to see him start there in center field. Eaton, just such a talented player. He has enormous potential, considering that he is speedy. He could run, as I said already. He could throw the ball in the outfield. Great defense. He could hit for average, and he could get up and get out of here, hit a home run when he needs to. Last year, he was hurt, only 66 games with Arizona, but I can remember right now, I remember in his rookie year, there was a fly ball in the center field. He made a nice catch at the warning track. From the warning track, makes a throw on a no-hop to first base to double off the runner. So really, you know this kid is ready. He's ready to start, and from what it sounds like, he is very optimistic to play on the team here, and his number one goal remains, quote, to get on base any way, shape, or form. The more he irritates the pitcher, the better. He says, quote, creating runs is huge. If you look at some of the great teams in the last 5 years, they have a great nucleus of players and guys that can create runs. For me, that's my job, creating havoc. You get me on first base with two outs, maybe I can steal second. I'm in scoring position. Just little things like that can go a long way to disrupting the pitcher's inning. And this guy, he has a great mindset, and I really hope for the best with him. And now we move on to the closing remarks segment of our show. I just have a couple, I don't know, little closing remarks now. It's just going to be some odd sports stories that you really hear about in the news, and I just want to present them to you guys as a little, you know, fun. I'm sure you've all been sitting through this all as information type thing. I want you guys to have a little fun over there listening. The Chicago Red Stars, the women's soccer team, which is brand new, is supposed to be starting this year as a part of the Women's Soccer League. They are one of about 10 teams who are already in it. And one other tidbit of news here, the retired 7-time NBA All-Star Tracy McGrady, known as T-Mac, who was a great player in his era, he is going to be pitching for Sugarland of the Independent Atlantic League. Famous pitchers who have pitched for Sugarland, including now Scott Kazmir and Roger Clemens. So Tracy McGrady could be on your TVs as a Major League Baseball player by either late this year or possibly early next year if he really sticks with it. And finally, we do have our Punchline of the Day segment here. This is just going to be a joke segment. And there is one of the Chicago Bears. I know I am a diehard Bears fan, but you sort of got to laugh at this. So here's the question. Did you hear the new penalty for speeding Illinois? Answer. On the first offense, they give you Bears tickets, and on the second offense, they make you use them. That is nice and funny there, and that is true, actually, considering that the Bears just had a dismal year last year. Finally, we have our new segment, too, called the Announcer's Call of the Day. I'm going to play a call of the day here for an announcer. This is the 1986 World Series, Game 6. Mookie Wilson is up at the plate. This is between the Boston Red Sox and the New York Mets. Vin Scully, as you all know, just a legendary announcer. He's a great voice. Let's listen in here right now. 78 here at Shea, and they've really been put through the ringer. Way too fouled away again. And it's going to go to the backstop. Here comes Mitchell to score the tying run. Ray Knight is in second. Little roller up along first. Behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it. Of course, you can never forget that ionic voice of Vin Scully. So, I just want to make one more quick announcement here. Keep in mind that the Twitter page for Sports Talk Chicago is now up and running. At CHI Talk Sports, at Chi Talk Sports on Twitter. Why don't you give us a follow? We will follow you back. This will be up on the Twitter page and on my own Twitter page, at ZAGS, Zags2000. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it very much. Keep in mind, the weekly syndicated podcast is this. This is weekly. Next week, we may have our first special guest, so I'll let you know more on that as the days progress. Thank you for listening, everybody. I appreciate it. And bye-bye.